Miller and Condon.
Ken Miller. Trent Condon. Miller and Condon on 1460 KXNO. And now on 106.3 FM.
All right, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Miller and Condon here on a Friday. Des Moines, I almost said football Friday. Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. Trent Condon, Ken Miller for the next couple of hours talking sports with you. Appreciate you tuning in here this morning. BMW of Des Moines guest list sounds like this. Tom Kakert, first and foremost. We'll get the latest on Iowa, who has sold out every single one of their home games this year. Kinnick Stadium, you cannot buy a ticket at the box office. It's pretty good.
Not a bad start to the season, huh?
I'll say some enthusiasm around this program, although you'll be able to win them on our show.
Yes, you will.
Coming up, we'll give you more details on that. Thank you, Dr. Stephen Fuller, FullerDental.net. We'll have a pair of tickets at every single game to give away. So Tom Kaker will start things off, then Mitch Holtis will opine. I believe he's going to continue to focus on the defensive side of the football today. We'll hear from Mitch in his normal spot at 10:50, 11:05, off to Vegas we shall go. Mike Palm from Circus Sports will be with us. The over hit yesterday, nice pick out of UTC. I know you had the Blue Jays. Did you sweep the board?
No, we had one loss. I had the A's that had the victory as they held on for dear life and got the win against the Angels and junk.
And the Angels hit six home runs or seven?
Seven.
Seven home runs.
Seven solo home runs. And lost 8-7. Try that off.
That's hard to do.
That is hard to do. 3-2 overall, though, as what we finished up. Also had a loss. Had the Cardinals minus 1.5 in game.
I watched a lot of that double dip yesterday until football started and it bounced back. It was pushed back due to inclement weather. I thought, you know what? We've waited all this these many months for it. And I get it's preseason, right? And I'm not going to stay and watch the whole game. I didn't.
I did.
Did the whole game?
Well, I got back to it as they were looking for that to get over that 30.5
gotcha.
Number.
Yeah, right. You had a different reason for watching that game, as I'm assuming a lot of folks out there did. But to make us wait for, what was it, the delay? Over
45,
an hour? 45, about 45 minutes. Yeah. That's what it was, yeah. But anyways, got in. What did you think of Tariq? Well, we've heard them before, right?
Yeah, Tariq and Collinsworth. Any change? Mm-hmm. It was interesting to see Melissa Stark.
Yes.
Back on the sidelines.
That's great. Good for her. And Maria Taylor. I mean, bye-bye, ESPN.
Yeah.
Boy, that really stunted her career, didn't it? Going to NBC and doing Olympics and now sitting in the... Good for her.
Melissa Stark, and I was reading last night because I'm like, man, Melissa Stark. And I'd seen her a couple of things. I know she'd worked with NFL Network, but...
She lives in Baltimore, I think, in that area.
Sounds right. Yeah. She has 4 kids, though, and decided to take a lot of time away.
Good for her. And
Monday Night Football. She was young.
Yes.
On Monday Night Football.
Mm-hmm.
Back when it was on ABC, too. Mm-hmm. And...
This is Aaron Andrews' role model, Melissa Stark.
To take a pause in your career when you're at that level. Uh-huh. I mean, just... I think says a lot about her and what family meant to her to do that.
And I'm sure talent that she possesses to be able to come back and to be wanted to come back.
And an unfortunate part of this conversation is she's older.
Yes.
She still is a beautiful woman.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're older, and I've heard Aaron Andrews talk about this a lot. And
Trent, it's a fact. Look at here in Des Moines, for God's sake.
Yes.
I can think of two right off the bat.
Mm-hmm. And lawyers can too.
Right. One of them still going through it. The other one, well, Heidi got paid and good for her.
It's an unfortunate part about it, but that is the reality of the world that they have to deal with. It shouldn't be that way, but it is the reality. But great for her, and she was great. Listening to her, I was listening to the Leroy Butler, who, even though he was a Packer for most of his career, that dude. I mean, the physicality at the safety position, guys like him and John Lynch, and to localize it, a Bob Sanders.
Steve Atwater.
Are those guys done? With today's football, can those guys...
You can't hit like that.
Right. I don't think you can survive anymore, coupled with the speed of the game and how different it is. I don't know if we're going to see many of those
guys
anymore.
You don't see too many of those, Eric, I hate to say this term, kill shots.
Yeah. The headhunter.
Right.
Yeah.
You don't see that. I mean, Lynch. Whoa, did he pack a load or what?
Yes, absolutely.
Wow, when he brought it, boy, oh boy.
Is there a safety you even think about in today's NFL that is...
That's a really good question. That hits like that.
Physical.
What was the kid's name in Arizona for years? And he got fined. Oh, he's on the tip of my tongue. Arizona Car... it's a different name.
Not popping into my head.
No, it's not popping into my...
Yeah.
He
was a cornerback.
Yeah.
And he ended up with the Rams for a while. He was all over the place.
Who am I thinking of? The Arizona Cardinals safety that was fined every other week. Anyways, to your point, is there a safety like that that hits...
They don't jump to either of our heads. I think that says a lot right there, right?
Yeah.
If neither of us can come up with one on the fly.
It wasn't Neus Williams who I was thinking of.
Okay.
But anyways... No, but it was good to see football back last night. Good to hear those voices that were, bringing us football for the first of a whole bunch of weeks. Now, we don't have another preseason game for a week. We'll be in Vegas for that. We asked Mike Palm, who, and we'll ask him just to repeat for at 11:05 or sometime during the piece. You know, what does a game like that do in Las Vegas, a preseason game, especially when it concerns the hometown team?
Yeah, right.
And I said, well, it's 2X. Whatever normally we'd be bet on a game would be double. I don't know what you take from it. I think if you're a Raiders fan, you know, like this division, I can make a case that Denver finishes last. Mm-hmm. I think I can make a case. Can you make a case that the Chiefs finish last?
Absolutely. It's not a stretch. It's not... being, hey, I'm going to come on here and I'm going to light a fire on the radio or I'm going to write an article to piss everybody off. No, there's a realistic possibility. You said it yesterday. 9-8 might finish in last place.
Yeah.
Is it a stretch for the Chiefs? Couple of injuries. Don't have the depth of wide receiver. They don't have that deep threat anymore. Suddenly, it's a lot easier to blanket Kelsey.
Chuck Cecil, yes. Thank you, Chuck Reed.
That is a
well
great
done.
One. Yes.
That's what I was thinking of. Good to hear from Chuck Reed, by the way.
And you go through that route and you look at it. Yeah, that's not a stretch. It's not a wild... You said it. Raiders, they were second last year.
Right.
They, of everybody in the AFC that had to play Cincinnati, who gave them the best game?
Cincinnati, absolutely. They had. That was a close game.
Yes. This team's getting better.
Uh-huh.
And seeing Devontae and Carr on the sidelines and them just, their relationship going back to college... Mm-hmm. How talented he is. And Carr, he hasn't had a weapon like this.
No.
He hasn't had anything close.
No. And they got some dudes, too.
Yes, they do.
They got some guys.
Waller at tight end.
Yeah, he's really good.
He is talented to all get out. This team.
I like Renfro.
I like what they can do off the edge defensively. They got guys that can get to the quarterback. Yes. What was that again? 7-8-1 that we saw the Raiders?
They were picked last.
I might have to reevaluate.
I look at...
I'm invested already in your Broncos.
See, I think you made a mistake.
Yeah,
and I had a free bet, so that's the only thing I put on Denver. I use a free bet to bet them, and I think I 10-1 or one. Don't remember what it was. Honestly, you could put the four names in a hat, and you can draw them out. Is there? I know you can do an exacta bet in each division. Can you do from top to bottom?
Can you do a
superfecta?
I think so, because at least for baseball, and those came out right before the season, I remember, though, those ones that I think we both did the Brewers-Cardinals 1-2 finish in the National League Central.
You're going to be wrong.
Oh, here you go. It's all right. I'm not overly nervous.
You know, it's just that it's the whole, boy, they sure could have used Josh Hader yesterday, could they not have?
Right.
Yeah.
Taylor Rogers is a little bit different in the back end of that bullpen as opposed to having...
Well, he'd lost his job.
Right.
You know, he'd lost the role as the closer in San Diego before he was shipped out of town.
Yeah, division specials. Right now you can bet on how many wins in division each team has. This is at DraftKings I'm looking at right now.
I wouldn't touch that. I think it's
the Bills. 4.5. Taking the over?
Yeah.
Plus 135.
I am taking the over.
The finishing position, here's what we were looking for. So, the Vikings. To finish first, plus 275. Second, plus 150. Third, 3-1. And to finish last in the NFC North, plus 650. So, that's in there. Straight forecast. Here we go. We're looking for. NFC North. All right. They got 1-2. Right now, they just have first, second listed. You want to do whole thing.
I want to do it all.
I found it for you. Here we go.
Is the FC West listed?
Let me scroll through because it starts. Yes. All right.
So give me Chargers, Raiders, Chiefs, Denver.
Chargers, Raiders. All right. Let's find Chargers, Raiders. I'm scrolling through, obviously, a lot of different combinations here. Chargers, Raiders, Chiefs, Broncos, 28-1.
How about that? How about Chargers, Raiders, Broncos, Chiefs? That's got to be even a bigger price.
Chargers, Raiders, Broncos, Chiefs. All right. Chargers.
32, 34-1? 35?
Chargers, Raiders, Denver, Kansas City, 35-1. That is the longest shot on the board.
Yep.
Is Chargers, Raiders, Broncos, Chiefs, also 35-1. Raiders first, Denver second, Chargers third, Chiefs last.
That division, man. Put them in a hat and draw them out.
This is under division exact order, if you're looking for the tab DraftKings. On DraftKings. So, yes, they do have these.
DraftKings.
They're fun.
Yeah, they are.
And I'm going to be playing around with them and a lot of pending money by the time we get to January.
By the time 9 o'clock rolls around tonight, I'm going to be...
You're really starting to rub off on me, these...
Trent, because I get it. You want the immediate action, right? Mm-hmm. But I don't want even money. I don't want to, you know, get back 4 to 5 or whatever. I want a price.
Yeah.
I want to shop for a price. By the way, this is how my luck's going. I'm killing Del Mar.
You are.
There's been 6 days... 7 days now. I've won 6 out of 7 days. Last night I hit the wrong button. I didn't notice it till this morning when I logged into my account, mm-hmm. and I cashed a ticket by betting the wrong horse.
But it's going well. It's going well.
So tonight I'm going to bet that exact that superfecta with Chargers, Raiders, and then I'll flip flop the other two. I'll take 28-1 and 35-1. All right. So good stuff. Football underway last night. Baseball from last night. Look. Boy, it's just these Blue Jays offense when they get going, right? When they get going.
It's 3-2. I'm locked in. And then I said, well, it's time for football again.
Right.
Because this is brutal.
Well, it is. And you know who you missed, right? Your guy took the bump and handed the win to the Blue Jays again. Why do they keep Pagan on the roster?
I have no clue. I don't understand.
Is he married to the the ownership family? Or is he married? I mean...
Part of the poll ads?
Yeah, or is he part of the GM? I mean, there has to be something, Trent.
He's brutal.
He's awful.
Do you know, by the way, the poll ads? Well, Carl, the dad,
he's
from West Des Moines.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, went to Valley High School.
Huh. Well, it was along those lines. Chuck just sent me a tweet. John Lynch's dad played at Drake. I didn't know that.
Look at all these connections we got here today. Emilio Pagan has no connections to Iowa. He's just terrible. this guy, I don't get it, because he looks like he should be good, right? He throws 97. He's got movement on his pitches. But this is going on 4 years now that he's just been bad. He gives up a ton of home runs. There's not enough movement on the pitches. Nope. I don't know if it's easy if he tips them, if it's easy to catch what he's doing. Whatever it is, he's brutal.
Yeah.
And you go out and you bring in two bullpen arms, right? Two guys that are going to help out. And now you don't have to worry about Pagan in the eighth inning. And what do? They trot him out there once again. Just realize what he is. Mm-hmm. He is, if you're down 8-2 in the third, yes, that is Emilio
Pagan.
That's
your game.
Yes, we are going to do that. Yeah. You got a 6-run lead and you're feeling okay, and you want to put him in the sixth? Okay, you can do that.
Or put him in the ninth last night when the game's out of hand,
that's
right?
That's a perfect time for Emilio Pagan.
And here's the thing. Sonny Gray, who started, Trent, he had a couple of hair on fire,
yep.
But he got out of it, and he got Guerrero with the bases loaded, a weak ground out. Mm-hmm. And that was the last batter that he faced. I thought the Twins were going to win this game last night, and then the Pagan happened.
And here comes the gas can out of the bullpen. Yep. Just licking your chops.
And the thousands of Manitobans and, what are they, Saskatchewans, who made their way down to the Twin Cities to watch this game, they were joyous in the outcome.
Yes, there were. And so I had a bunch of people on my timeline last night, a bunch of friends that were at the game. My cousins were there. A couple of family members from up north, and all of a sudden, they're talking about, excited to see Cole Swindoll. And I'm like, is that a guy with, connections? Is he from Minnesota, maybe? Who's Cole Swindoll? Is a country music singer. They were doing a concert
after
the game.
Oh, after the game? I wondered why there were way more people later in the night.
And that was the reason.
Okay.
I had that moment where, boy, am I out of touch, because I have never heard of this person.
Well, we gave
at
away
all.
Tickets. Who did we give away
Disturbed.
Tickets? Disturbed.
I knew Disturbed. I had that.
You did. I think I went to break saying, boy, I hope somebody calls.
And then we had 40 calls.
At least. But then we had Cappy on right after, and the band's from Chicago, and I asked, I've never heard of him. Anyways, good stuff. When does the fair start? Is it next Thursday? It has to be next Thursday. I think it has.
I believe so. Yeah, it has to. I'm not a big... I go once. Once is enough.
Like in your lifetime you've been once?
No. Like once a year.
Do you?
Once a year, take the kids. Mm-hmm. They do all the stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's enough for me. I'm not a big fair goer. One of my old roommates,
yep.
He'll go 10,
I know people 12, go every day.
14 times, yeah. Sometimes, yeah.
He I know hits people that bring day. Their trailer.
Oh,
you
yeah.
Know, you know Brad Van Vark, the former college mm-hmm. football official, and his wife Janine used to work here. And they would park there. They would get there whenever the campground, air quote, campground would open. And they'd meet old friends year after year after year. I guess people do this.
Same thing. Well, Chase, who you know from Graphite Construction uh-huh. Group, that's what he does. That's his part of his vacation every year.
Is to go to the fair.
Is to go to the fair, park there, camp the whole time, and just have a great time. And he loves it. I don't get it.
No, nor do I.
I don't get it. Acorn dog's good. Do I need one every day? Probably not.
No.
The acts, the music. I'm also not a huge concert person. Right. Maybe that has something to do with it, too. I hear some of the acts. I'm like, oh, yeah, that wouldn't be too bad. And then I think about it. Getting there, it might be 105 degrees. Not for me.
Yeah, I...
Catch us next week at the Iowa State Fair.
No, look for us.
Right.
That's what I... Look for it. He won't find us, but go look for us at the Iowa State Fair. Oh, my God. Anyways. So Iowa is in full-blown practice mode. Likewise mm-hmm. at Iowa State. Big Ten Network is on the road. We asked that question yesterday because there'd been no advanced publicity of this that I had seen.
I went to their website. I went to the Twitter account. I was looking. In fact, the Big Ten Network Twitter account had nothing about their appearance at Nebraska.
It was Refsens that I
saw. Yeah, well, I saw DiNardo.
Okay, yes, because somebody both, one of our listeners retweeted Refsens' mm-hmm. tweet and another retweeted DiNardo's retweet. So why is this a secret?
Can we get a little heads up or is it... Nobody knows. They're mm-hmm. just going to show up where they show up. It depends on where the bus driver goes next.
Right.
And is he going up to Minnesota? Is he going across to Iowa? Is he crisscrossing to Wisconsin? Who knows? Find out
on
their Twitter account.
I think probably north into Wisconsin, and they'll get down here. We'll see what the route is. But even when you were gone and Big Ten media days were happening in Indianapolis and I would have Big Ten guests on, mm-hmm. I would ask that question.
Sure.
Well, you know, we haven't heard. Which kind of leads me to believe that they're not coming. I mean, the same response from all of the people. And then when we saw this yesterday, this is good. You know what? Just mm-hmm. give us a little taste. Feed the beast. Tease us a little with some video, with some interviews.
You see how nuts people go with still pictures.
It's crazy.
This has been going on for 20 years now, mm-hmm. where people on message boards freak out. You know the latest one in Iowa City, right?
No, what is somebody looks slow in a still picture?
Well, there's that one. That's always my favorite.
Yeah.
Yeah, he looks really fast.
He's out of shape.
Yeah. This guy, boy, I think he's lost a step. It's a still picture. How are you supposed to do? Keegan Johnson has not shown up in the first 2 days of pictures.
You know what that means, uh-huh. right? He's in the doghouse.
Or he's hurt.
Yeah. Or he's lost his gig.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Jeez.
Alec Wick has taken over the job from him.
So do you know much about that kid?
I remember him in high school.
Do you?
Yeah, good athlete.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you thought this was going to be a guy, maybe at the end of his career he turns into...
Might get a shot.
Right.
Yeah.
His senior year.
Uh-huh.
He's Riley McCarron.
Okay.
You know, a guy mm-hmm. like that. That's yep. kind of, that was the thought process behind it, but they're so depleted. They are so depleted.
It's a concern.
Do you think Brody Breck is going to be a wide receiver for him? I continue to hear people bring his name up.
Well, if he is, Trent, I hope it's only for 1 year.
Yeah, right.
For his sake.
Yeah. Because he's got a multi-million-dollar arm.
Right.
Hone in on that craft.
Yep.
That's where you're going to
be. But you know what? And again, we say it the same. Who are we to say what a kid
right,
should do,
exactly.
Right?
He's 6'3", 6'4". I mean, he's got size.
And you saw him play a ton in high school.
I did, absolutely. I always liked Arlen Bruce more mm-hmm. when he moved in his senior year just because you could do more with
him.
Well,
he touched the ball more.
I always wondered, did he have the top-end speed to be a wide receiver in the Big Ten? That was always my question for him. He's, of course, a great high school athlete
right.
and all those things and had the speed to, you know, beat a kid from Urbandale. It's a little bit different beating a kid from Ohio State,
yeah.
you know, to get to a ball. That was always my question with him, but I heard a couple of different things, well, including yesterday. David Eichhold told us that he continues to impress as what he's heard in practice and making plays in the red zone with that big frame. If he could just be... What, 20 catches, 250 yards, and a couple of touchdowns? Mm-hmm. Be that fourth receiver, I think you feel a whole lot better. But, well, it starts with Keegan Johnson, right?
Yeah.
Better show up in one of those pictures.
Well, we'll continue to evaluate them over them to see what's going on. How about T.J. Otzelberger having a media availability? Good for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? It's August. Everybody's on football mode, but T.J. got his basketball team front and center, and everybody, Cyclone fans, are talking about them. The basketball program gets it.
Taman Lipsey, is he the point guard? What is going to happen with that role? You know, I've told you before, when Eli King committed, I said he's going to be a fan favorite. Mm-hmm. You could see he's got a flair to him.
Yep.
He's got some cockiness. He's got an edge.
Charisma, yep.
He's got that, and he's going to be a guy, I'll tell you what, Hawkeye fans are going to hate. And Kansas fans
Perfect.
Are going to hate.
Love it.
He is going to be that kind of player. He is going to be a villain.
So he's Connor McCaffrey, kind of?
With a little more game.
Okay.
With a lot more game.
Yeah.
He's Jordan Bohannon.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Great.
That's what I see from him. He is going to be fun to watch. And suddenly hearing, you know, they've been practicing him a little bit at point guard. If he can handle the ball on top of it and not just be a two guard, but be a combo guard, not for 30 minutes a game, but if he can get that out of, you know, a couple times a half, you go to him for 3 minutes and he runs the point along with what he can do, that's a huge step forward, because that is a question mark still with this team. And he's the one guy that you feel, I think, probably most confident is going to be able to shoot it this season if he can come out there right away and knock down some shots. So I was with you. Just... All right, let's talk about these freshmen a little bit more. Mm-hmm. Let's figure this. This roster has looked just so different.
Yep. And the piece on Robert Jones, who we both love, this game last. I mean, we know he's not a star.
Nope.
But he's got a role in the team, and when he gets those minutes, they're not a ton of them, but they're impactful.
Be a tough guy.
Yes.
Know your role.
And TJ's trusting him more and more so. I'm glad he came back. I think he's going to be a big part of that team. Anyways, we'll take a timeout, but it's good to talk basketball, my point, in the month of August, right, when everybody's football crazy. Well done, TJ Otzelberger and company over there for making that opportunity available. We'll take a timeout. Tom Caker will join us next. Look forward to catching up with Tom Caker. What has he gleaned from these still pictures? Tom Cakert next. Good for the Hawkeyes selling out every single one of their games. Were you surprised Nebraska was the last one to go?
No. I mean, Nebraska's terrible.
Yeah, but their fan base always travels, though. Not to the extent.
Certainly not to the extent once was.
Right.
But it's also Black Friday. It's just difficult.
Yeah.
They travel better during the course of the regular season than they do there. No, outside of the jokes about, you know, Nebraska, they haven't made a bowl game. You know, South Dakota State's a better football program right now than Nebraska. Well, they are.
I cannot say you're wrong. I'm just laughing at what you said.
Yeah. South Dakota State's a better football program than Nebraska. And I'm not saying that flippantly. Mm-hmm. It's the truth. Yes, they play at two different levels, but it is the truth. It's Black Friday. Ultimately, that's the tough thing. I mean, think of how many people. You're already traveling for Thanksgiving.
Right.
You're away from, you're going away. Whatever it turns out to be, it's more difficult. So no, I wasn't surprised by that, just because I know that's usually one of the last ones. There's always tickets available, it seems like. For that game.
Tougher game. Game one or game 12?
I'll say game one.
Oh, boy.
No. And I think Nebraska's going to be a bowl team.
I know you do.
I just wonder, is Casey Thompson upright by the time we get to that game?
Well, we know Adrian Martinez took some incredible shots, and he's a tough kid. But wasn't it DiNardo who was raving about Casey Thompson yesterday in the tweet? Is that what I saw? Was somebody that watched, or maybe it was Sam, is it McCowan from the Omaha World Herald?
Sounds right, yeah.
I think maybe it was him that was raving about Casey Thompson's quarterback play, how it's been elevated. Anyways. It's 10:25. Miller and Condon underway on a Friday. Claxton's Barbecue, by the way, still to come up at about 11:50 as well. It's Des Moines Sports Station 106.3 Details.
Now back to Miller and Condon on 106.3 KXNO. Here's Ken and Trent.
Welcome back, Miller and Condon, 10:30 on a Friday, Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. Just got a call during the break. Save your money.
Oh.
Patrick Mahomes is still the quarterback, I was reminded.
He is. Travis Kelce's still there?
Yeah. And a hungry Travis Kelce.
Orlando Brown still the left tackle?
Yes. Yep.
And an improving defense.
Frank Clark has put a slug in the jug, apparently, and Chris Jones is motivated, and... They got some dude. That draft class from last year, the 2000s, they got three starters and didn't have a first-round pick.
And back to your original point, Patrick Mahomes is still there.
He's still there. Yeah. Tom Kakert, HawkeyeReport.com. Tom, we were just trying to do a superfect in the AFC West, and I came up with one that was paying 28 and 35 to 1. Chargers, Raiders, and then flip-flop Broncos and the Chiefs. Chiefs third was 28 to 1. Chiefs fourth was 35 to 1. Tempting, but Patrick Mahomes is still the quarterback, Tom Kakert, I was reminded.
They still have Patrick Mahomes.
Yes, indeed they do. Indeed they do. So, Tom, first of all, let's talk about the sellouts. I mean, every single, you can't go to the box office and get a ticket. There's some enthusiasm. There's a lot of excitement for this football team. Good to see, Tom.
It is. It's strange, though, because there's such, I don't know what the right term is. Trent might figure something out, but it's just like there's maybe trepidation or mm-hmm. something. I don't know. It's just like everybody's kind of like, yeah, we're excited, but the offense.
But the offense. Not the quarterback.
You know, it always goes back to about the offense. Yeah. But the quarterback.
Yep.
You know, it always just drifts back there. You know, it's not like they've got this, you know, you think about selling tickets. And offense sells is box office, right?
Yep.
Not with Iowa.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Not with Iowa, but we'll see if they can improve it.
You know, the offense continues to be a huge talking point. It's going to be all August, and it's going to be throughout this season. Brian Ferentz, he's done interviews this year, saw the long mm-hmm. one, what, a month ago with Scott Dockerman. Now Chad Leistico has released his, not just an interview that he had with him that he put together on paper form, but also a 2.5-hour podcast that you can listen to and hear everything that Brian had to say. He knows he's maligned. He understands that the pressure is on, and he's been frank. He said, I wasn't good enough last year as the offensive coordinator. What does that say to you? Does that say that Dad's going to release at least a little bit and let him do more of his thing? Is the pressure going to be too much? Where do you think we are right now with Brian Ferentz?
Yeah, and in addition to Scott and Chad, he did 90 minutes with me in June on a podcast.
That's right. So, yeah.
I mean, you know, I didn't keep him as long as those guys. You know,
right.
they keep him for afternoons. I was like, Brian, 90 minutes is enough, man. We don't need to see each other that long. But I the thing that I'm curious about, and this something that I've kind of been told just privately by a few people, is that maybe they've simplified some things on the offense and talked about this a little bit, just that they've maybe.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
He made it a little bit easier to do things. And bringing in John Budmeyer, maybe he helped them do that as an analyst.
That's the Wisconsin guy?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. That maybe he kind of, he's a quarterback by trade. Iowa didn't have quarterback by trade on their staff. You know, they didn't, they just haven't had that. And maybe that's something that they really needed mm-hmm. is the quarterback's eyes on everything and being able to kind of look under the hood and fix some things and simplify some things for Spencer Petras and Alex Padilla and Joe Labus and Carson May and whoever else is in the future.
Tom, before we ask you who looks faster or slower from the still photos that we've seen, I think the big news from certainly for the last couple of days, and Trent pointed, where did you see this front office sports?
Yes.
The potential TV, the media deal that we think is coming soon, and the fact that NBC apparently is involved, and these are people that follow media, would think that would have some pretty good sources at front office sports. $1.5 billion and NBC involved. Tom, they're going to own everything for crying out loud. The SEC they won't be able to keep up, Tom, if indeed this is how this thing comes to fruition.
Do you think the SEC maybe is having a little
yes.
regret about just going all in with ESPN
Absolutely.
now?
Absolutely.
I mean, because ESPN is begging to get into this deal with the Big Ten now, because really there's only two marketable college football, college, you know, groups. It's the SEC and the Big Ten.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the, you know, sorry, Big 12 folks or Pac 10 or whoever, you know, ACC is locked into their long-term deal with grant of rights till 2036. So the other ones, they just don't move the needle.
No.
If they had schools that moved the needle in an appreciable way, the SEC or the Big Ten would be scooping them up.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, you know, I've kind of jokingly called them the island of misfit toys, but they're just not the TV folks want things that are going to bring eyeballs to the product and that they can sell to advertisers to make back that money. And it's all SEC. And the Big Ten is the prettiest girl, prettiest car in the lot kind of thing right now. And everybody wants to test drive it.
No, they're must-haves. They're must-haves.
What does this mean for Iowa athletics? This money that's going to be coming in, this windfall, you know, there's concern about with the NIL, people maybe not donating at the same level back to the university. Is this just covering up that? Are we talking about a potential of adding more sports, a potential of new buildings? What is this money going to do as it pertains to Iowa?
You know what I joked, and you know if you follow college athletics, I said it means 10 more associate athletic directors will be named.
That's true. Yes. Yep.
You know, uh-huh. it's just the growth there will be appreciable. I'm sure somebody will be you know, director of special events.
An assistant to the director.
Right.
Yeah, it's just, you know, there's going to be some hiring, I would imagine. Mm-hmm. But, you know, maybe they get all those baseball stuff done. I drove by yesterday in Iowa City, and they've got the wrestling thing. The ground is dug. I mean, that hole is in the ground in front of Carver Hawkeye now. It's and so they've got that $25 million wrestling facility going. So they've just, and you know, the other thing they're going to be able to do for Iowa's sake is maybe they'll pay back that debt that they had to incur during the pandemic. Yeah. That they'll be able to pay that back sooner.
Yeah, it makes some sense. Tom, when's Iowa, the Big Ten Network, stop by Iowa? Do you know? And it's great that they are. I mean, it seemingly came out of nowhere. There was no advanced publicity this was going to happen. Yet they show up in Nebraska yesterday. They're at Northwestern today. So they skipped right through Wisconsin, Iowa, and Minnesota to get back to Northwestern. When are the Hawkeyes on the slate? Do you know?
I have no idea. And it was weird because usually they'll put something out that, hey, they put some graphic together or something, but there was nothing. And I was kind of bummed. I was like, oh, boy, I wonder, you know, all I saw was just, wow, they're at Nebraska. Okay. So who knows when they'll show up, but that's always a good day. You know, it'd be nice if they did it next week, early in the week, so then we could, you know, maybe there's something we learned from that we can talk about at Media Day on Friday.
Well, Media Day comes through on Friday, then Kids Day a day afterwards. Wish there would be a little bit more gap there because maybe some more stories would start to emerge here. But what are we chasing down? Short of quarterback in that conversation. What are some of the other pieces you're looking for next week to talk about as you get to your chance with all of the guys outside of the freshmen?
Is kicker exciting?
It's certainly a talker.
Yes.
It's something we're going to have to talk about this year. It's going to be the kicker, and that's kind of going to be an interesting story, I think, to talk about at Media Day. You know, I the offensive line, I think, is a talking point. And, you know, Logan Jones at center versus Michael Myslinski. You know, what about the tackles? Jack Plum, Mason Richmond, are they going to elevate and continue to, you know, grow their play a little bit this year? I think that's important. The depth of the defensive line, I think, is important. And we'll get to talk to some freshmen now, too. So that's one of the changes from last year.
So who's going to return also? I guess punt returns is Arlen Bruce. Yeah. I mean, who's got the lead in those roles?
Yeah, that will be another thing that I'm sure we'll talk about with LeVar Woods, the special teams coordinator, is who's going to be in that mix. But right now, it looks like Harlan Bruce is going to be the punt return guy, and I don't think that's going to change unless something dramatic happens. But kickoff return seems a little bit more wide open, where you could see Keegan Johnson, you could see Xavier Wampa, you could see some different people back there. I think Arlen might put his hat in that ring too, but I think that kickoff is much more wide open than maybe the punt return is right now.
Oh, that's intriguing, and certainly LeVar Woods, what he's done with special teams, and that little nugget from back in the spring, Cooper DeJean, not just maybe as a kick returner.
Cooper's another one.
How about him as a holder? So I had an opportunity to talk with Cooper in a podcast I do last week, and he said, I'm not so sure. I did it in high school, but there was a wry smile on his face. What would they do? I mean, is it just something as simple as it makes sense? He was a quarterback in high school. He can do the duties. Do you think that LeVar certainly has something up his sleeve, though, if that does come to fruition?
Yeah, I think there's probably something that there's a lot you could do with Coop.
Yes.
Because Coop just makes plays. I mean, he's an exciting player and somebody that you really like to get the things. Good things happen when the ball gets in his hands. That's why I think he's going to be the cash this year, because I just think he's just sort of tailor made for that spot where he's big enough where he can, get kind of tossed around in the wash and not suffer a whole lot in along the line. But also he just has, I kind of compared him to Tyler Sash sometimes where, when Sash was going, I mean, the ball just seemed to always find him. Just always finds him. And that's the same thing with Coop.
Localizing it to two Central Iowa redshirt. Are they super seniors, Wagner and Evans? Well, this is their last year of football, I believe. Yeah. What do we expect out of them in their swan song? Wagner and Evans, who, Joe Evans, he doesn't see the field or hadn't, but when, coming up through his career, there was hardly a game that was played that he didn't jump out, at least to me, for doing something. Wagner and Evans, what do we expect?
Evans is one of the really fascinating stories because the reason he became a defensive end was really because they were out of defensive linemen and they were kind of just looking for some guys to rush the passer, and then they just kind of found something with this linebacker that they just sort of threw out there, and they were like, Joe Evans. And now they just bulked him up now. And, he went from a specialist to now they feel very comfortable with him playing three downs. And, I tell you, and Wagner, I think, is, poised for a really, he's kind of the Zach Van Valkenburg this year, just a solid, steady veteran guy on the edge. But I'll tell you what, I wrote something up about the defensive line for today, and just talking to Logan Lee this summer, he's like, we got 12 guys that they could play. That's what he was like. We got 12 that we could travel. And looking at it, he's not far off. And that second unit, I I've been singing the Lucas Van Ness praise train for a while now, and I think he's double-digit sacks and all Big Ten contender this year.
Has he got another year of eligibility, or could he leave?
He could leave after this year because this will be his third year.
If he can put together that kind of season and the way he looks, and you got to figure the measurables that go along with it, enjoy him in the black and gold. It could be the very last season. Hey, we get an answer here from Jerry DiNardo. Ben Flaherty passed this along to us. They will be in Iowa City for the Big Ten Tour, the BTN Tour, on Tuesday, August 16th.
Good.
So this is going to be one of the last ones. Illinois over the weekend, and then they go out east. Rutgers, Maryland, Penn State, Ohio State, Indiana next week is going to be the stops.
Did they do a recap of their day in Nebraska like they used to do, or are they just showing up? They did, like on BTN?
Yes.
Good, good. Tom, great stuff.
You know why they probably went to Nebraska and Northwestern first is because they're heading over to Dublin earlier.
Absolutely.
Oh, of course.
Makes a lot of sense.
Absolutely. Tom Kakerd, HawkeyeReport.com. Tom, what time does Media Day start next week? I guess what I'm asking, will we be able to get you when we're doing our show at Circus Sports?
We're good. And I wish I could be at Circus Sports.
I wish you could too, brother. It'd be fun to do. Tom, have a great week. Let's try and make that happen at some point, all right?
You bet. I'll be available for you guys. No worries.
Thank you, Tom. Take care. Talk to you next week.
Okay.
Yep.
Thanks, guys.
Tom Cakert, HawkeyeReport.com. Latest on Iowa. So Tuesday the 16th, they will make their way through Iowa City. Excellent. Excellent. 10:45. Mitch Holtus, the voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. He'll join us next. Miller and Condon. On a Friday, Des Moines Sports Station, 106.5.
Fair.
You know this theme music?
What is it from? I've heard it before.
It's the Thursday Night Football old theme music.
Going way back.
Yes, this is the CBS when they had the Thursday Night package with NFL Network.
Yeah, they split it, didn't they?
Yeah, for a while. Amazon Prime. What kind of tunes we're going to hear coming out of the breaks?
I don't know, but they keep hiring more and more talent. It's unbelievable. Speaking of talent, our next guest has a whole bunch of it. He's Mitch Holtus, the voice of the Kansas City Chiefs, and then you'll hear him in the winter doing Missouri Valley Conference basketball, one of his loves as well. Hello, Mitch Holtus. How are you?
Hi, Ken. Hi, Trent. I've got a bunch of stuff, but I don't have a bunch of money like those people are getting being hired by Amazon Prime, but I'm like the rest of you to see what their presentation will be. You know, maybe a glimpse into the future because we all know that we're all headed for streaming of everything. But I will be interested in to see, you know, how they approach it. But yeah, I'm with you.
I did see a report yesterday. DirecTV has struck a deal with Amazon where bars and restaurants will be able to carry the game. So if you're locked out, you don't have Amazon Prime, you want to watch a game on Thursday, you'll at least have that possibility.
Sportsbooks probably, too, I would think.
Absolutely.
That would be next. Anyways,
yes.
Good stuff. Well, Mitch, NFL started last night. It's good to see the NBC. They had the game last night. Look, it's preseason football, but it's football, right? Did you watch any of it?
Seriously, I watched. I was working in. I've got a nice little office here at camp. I watched every minute of it. I couldn't take my eyes off it. I'm trying to work, but I'm looking at them like, okay, because you know, I think, well, we play these two opponents, and you know, you always want to video scout them, and you know, none of these guys are going to play against us. But I guess I'm so starved, like everybody else. I watched almost every snap of that idiot game. I just fourth quarter, I'm looking at it, and so I'm ready, just like everybody else. Yep. I'm ready for it at all levels. If the Colfax Mingo Tiger Hawks or the UNI Panthers or the Smith Center Big Red. I'm just ready for it all.
I think we all are. Well, we're ready to continue to talk about this defense. And
I did think this, Trent. Hey, Trent and Ken, I did think this. It felt like that was a 2.5 to 3 hour Raider podcast.
Yeah,
it was.
That's what it felt like. Yeah. Didn't it feel like that?
Yeah, you're right.
Like, yeah.
A lot of propaganda.
A little bit. Yeah, I was like, okay, let's the speech of the Raiders for 3 hours, and so it's okay. All right, let's go.
Gonna be a fun division, no doubt. The defense we've continued to talk about this week, Mitch. And before we get into your conversation from earlier, I want to talk a little bit about Mike Rose. What you've seen out of him, a difficult spot. You got Leo Chanel, who's an outstanding player from Wisconsin. He's got to track one of those inside spots. So, how tall is the hill for Mike Rose to make this team? And secondly, what you've seen to him out of him this point?
Well, I've got two answers for you, Trent. One's a short form and one's a long form, because I've seen this story many, many times of a player like a Mike Rose. And I just lived it with Ben Neiman the last several years. And Ben Neiman has got a $27,000 Super Bowl ring somewhere.
Indeed.
Okay?
Yep.
So let's start there. Mike Rose is I like Mike Rose a lot. Tons of energy, fits the mode. Now, is it tough this year? Yeah, there's eight guys in linebackers in this camp. Five will make it, in my opinion. We don't go heavy on linebackers because of how we approach things. But that doesn't mean Mike isn't – so that's short form, looks tough, big mountain. The long form here is Mike is built – to be a long-form crockpot NFL guy. And when I say crockpot, you put him in the crockpot, let him cook slow, and you never know what's going to come out of there, usually something tasty. Mike's got the right demeanor. So if Mike doesn't make our first cut, second, third, or third cut, that doesn't mean his life is over. That just means he could, if he's on practice squad with us, he's actually fighting for all that with a fellow rookie from South Dakota, Jack Cochran, who's also a talented kid. But if it looks bleak for Mike on August the 5th, don't think it's bleak for Mike Rose in his next 2 to 3 to 4 years.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think that's probably very well put, that he's going to hang around, and I think he's going to get his opportunity. Justin Reed is going to get his opportunity to be real.
Well, let me say this, too. Okay. Let me say this. This is going to be a Matt Campbell comment, because I've seen it with K-State. When K-State guys get into the league, they stay. We got Elijah Lee with us in his seventh year. Now, I'm a K-Stater, but Iowa State and K-State are similar. But Matt Campbell has brought a Bill Snyder, Chris Kleiman-ish thing to Iowa State. Those Iowa State dudes now are built to last in the NFL, and that's not always been the case. The way they are taught, challenged, the discipline in their program, they're made to make it in the NFL. And so that's why a Mike Rose has a shot. All right, I'm just leaving it at that.
No, you're right. I mean, they're getting called. Their Iowa Staters are getting called on draft weekend at some point. So let's get to Justin Reed. Who watches the Texans play football if you don't have to, right? Meaning your team's not playing against them. But I know that he's an impact player, and he's in the right spot, and he's going to be asked to make an impact on this team, both in the locker room and on the field. You had an opportunity to catch up with him. How did that conversation go?
Well, this is the answer to the question I was getting all spring and summer 2.0. We talked about this yesterday with Nick Bolton, but who's going to replace the Honey Badger? Where's the leadership going to come from? Oh, my God, the defense, they're just going to be a leaderless, rudderless ship. No, they're not. They had these built-in leaders. Juan Thornhill's another one. But Justin Reed is an impressive dude. And with Justin Reed, almost immediately his impact has been felt on and off the field. But his comprehensive approach to football is one that lends himself to be a leader.
Yeah, this kind of goes to what I tell the young guys, too. The biggest thing about the NFL is, you know, physically, everyone is somewhat around the same point. Now, you have a couple of guys that are just ultimately special, you know what I mean? Freak of natures, if you want to call them that. But most of the guys, you're going to be about on par. The difference between now and what you did in college or high school is the mental level of the game, the communication, knowing where your help is, communicating with each other, making adjustments on. It's a chess match that's on the field. So whenever you're able to do that, be loud, be confident. Everyone knows that you're going to be there. Everyone is confident in what's about to happen. That's when you're able to play real tight, sound, fundamental defense.
Ken and Trent was like, what? This dude's 25.
Sounds like a coach.
Yeah.
I mean, and he's good.
Yes.
He's talented. This isn't just a guy that's, hey, he's smart and tough, but I don't know if he can play. He's all of it. He was just sick of losing in Houston. Wanted out. They're a disaster. But he was also part, you guys, of that collapse against us. They had us down 24-0 in a playoff game and lose by 20 points. He wants to win. I saw this with guys when we were struggling and we were bad and we're 4-12 and 2-14. Guys want out. They want to go win. They know that they want to have a shot to win. And that's where Justin Reed is. That's why Carlos Dunlap said, he goes, I played in the league 13 years. I don't have a playoff win. I want to win a playoff game. So, but that's where Justin Reed is at. But he does take responsibility among himself, and he's good enough to make plays. He wears number 20. Watch him, but people forgot that she's picked him up in the offseason.
But Mitch, it's going to be a hot weekend here in Central Iowa. Why would people want to turn on their oven when they can just pick up their app or pick up the phone? Let's talk a little bit about Papa John's as we let you go for the weekend.
Or a little lunch here. They got these spicy pepperoni rolls. They're really, really good. Spicy pepperoni rolls, just $5.49. But get them while they last. Because the offer will end on August the 21st.
Good stuff, Mitch Holtis. We are out of time. Have a great weekend. We'll speak with you on Monday. Thanks, as always, Mitch.
See you, boys.
Yep, good to talk to you. Mitch Holtis, voice of the Kansas City Chiefs in his daily spot. He joins us each and every day at 10:50, with the exception when they're on the road, headed to a game during the preseason. And then he'll be with us Wednesdays throughout the regular season at 11:30. Miller and Condon, an hour to go. Off to Vegas we shall go when we come back on Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO.